the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In our 200th episode of the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast, Dave looks into knowing who our God is. The main reading is Matthew chapter 6.
Amen. As we talked on Sunday, Jesus revealing who God is and how we do relate to him. I just want to start with a couple of quotes. Tozer said this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It's a good quote, interesting quote. Packer, from his book Knowing God, excellent book. A bit weak on the Holy Spirit, but we let him off, he's the Anglican, but apart from that, pretty good book. You sum up the whole of the New Testament Christianity if you describe it as the knowledge of God as one's Holy Father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how she makes of the thought of being God's child, having God as his Father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. For everything that Christ taught, everything that makes the New Testament new and better than the old, everything that is distinctively Christian as opposed to merely Jewish, is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. Father is the Christian name for God. Our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. Just going to just again look at that. So vital to know who our God is. You see, to know him is how you relate to somebody, didn't you? Exactly, in any relationship, you know them, or you think you know them, and you relate to them in that way. If you know they're generous, you're pretty open to ask them for some things, isn't you? If you know they're tight, then that's not the person you're going to go to, is it? To ask something for. And so when you know someone, that's how you relate to them. And so vital. And again, just got to just drop into that father and father wound that again, that affects us, that infiltrates our thinking. We've got to re-educate ourselves of who God is as a father. We'll look at that tonight. And again, as we said, we've got to bring it to the Lord. Forgive our dads. Some of us know a lot to forgive. Some got much to forgive of what they did and what they didn't do. And that's such a key. And we've looked at that before, of how that of many of those great atheists over the years had absent fathers, or fathers that didn't weren't what they were supposed to be, or spiritual leaders in spiritual positions who let them down or disappointed them. And that happens. And of course, as soon as Jesus mentioned the fatherhood of God, they had some idea. Now, they had some idea of that, the Jews, didn't they? Because God revealed himself to a certain extent as a father, a little bit distant. But then Jesus pours it on them 17 times, 5, 6 and 7. He is Father. Father. Let's look at some Old Testament. Psalm 68, 4 and 5.
Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens. By his name jar, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation.
So straight away we see his heart. See the father to the fatherless. He has a great, because he created family, didn't he? And he understands that. A child, and thankfully they see that now, although they don't put anything in place legally in the law, in the tax system even, that marriage, mum and dad, is the best way for a child to grow and to flourish and to be secure, and all those kind of things. And God is, it grieves him. And that's why father to the fatherless, a judge, an advocate for the widow. And he says in James, doesn't he, don't you forget, this is what real, he uses the word religion, we don't like using that word so much. Real religion is, keep yourself pure, watch how you speak, and look after the orphans and the widows. Look after them. because God's got a great heart for those. So there's the Father, Father to the fatherless, and then of course into the prophets. You can go back at just beginning into Deuteronomy, and he reveals himself there time and time again as a father, and as a father who disciplines, as we look at that in a moment as well. How about Isaiah 64?
Yeah, we've got all our hands up this, all of us, and become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We are shriveled up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. Or you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the works of your hand.
Amen. Wonderful words, isn't it? Wonderful. This is who we are, Lord. And of course, he told Israel, but exactly the same as us. Just a type there of humanity, really. But he's the Father. He's the potter. We're the clay. All that we will allow him, get in the centre of that wheel, allow him to make us and to fashion us, which is painful. And you've got to cut things off, haven't you? Have you seen a potter? You've got to dig his fingers and his thumbs into the, and then you've got all that excess, throw it away. And I was thinking about that the other day as we were worshipping. Oh Lord, you know, I think we were singing the potter and the clay, weren't we? And thinking, you know, that we have that lovely picture of the pot at the end, but we forget the process, don't we? Which is, you know, time consuming and hard work for the potter. And we can make it more hard work than it needs to be, can't we, some of us? But it's painful. He's squeezing, he's moulding, and he's throwing excess things that don't need to be there, out it goes. But that he's a father, he's a good father. And when we see a father investing, we understand that. We invest in our kids, don't we? I was thinking the other day about exams, and my daughter was not brilliant at science. So I tried to help her, but it's always a little bit of a issue in her fathers and daughters. So we got a tutor in, didn't we? We got a tutor in so she would fulfil her potential. Yeah. She passed, but that was about as much as I can say. The girl teacher, I said, oh, she's wonderful. She's great. Okay. She was never great at exams, I think, Tana. I don't know. So we invest in you, and God invests in us. Isn't that amazing? If we invest in our kids, how much more He, the God of heaven? Why? Because we want our kids to fulfill their potential, don't we? Of course we do. How much more God than us? But here He is. And here's the first of the Father's heart. Who is He? Who is our Father? What is He like? Well, let's read Psalm 103:13-14.
As the father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust.
There he is. He has mercy on us. His mercy is amazing. Compassion. He knows what we like. He knows our frailties. Now, again, as we come later on, he won't excuse those. He doesn't excuse them, does he? But he has mercy and compassion on us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He has pity on us. And he comes alongside. And as we look at discipline in a moment, it's different types of discipline depending on what we have done. Sometimes it's just saying, oh, Dave, this is a correction. A little bit more of a correction. Sometimes it just needs to be punishment, isn't it? Because we knew what we should have done, we didn't do it, and God is not afraid to do that. What about these verses? These are wonderful verses. Get excited over these. Zephaniah. Oh, dig into that one. Zephaniah 3:14-17.
Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
We should sing that. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will rejoice over you. What on earth? Now again, just let that filter through, because again, it depends how we were grew up and how we may have never had anyone speak positive words over us, or I'm proud of you, or you are my son, you are my daughter, you are my son. But the Lord, the Bible says, he rejoices over us. Then we go into the Songs of Solomon. The Bible says his banner over us is love. That's amazing, isn't it? God speaks over us. You are my daughter. You are my son. Hallelujah. He speaks that over us. And the Bible says he rejoices over us. Oh, bless the Lord. We say, not in a million. That's what he says of Israel. Oh, Israel. Dear me. What were they like? Up and down, one minute following, next minute rebelling. Dear, dear. Totally. But God speaks that word over us. Amazing. Wonderful. And when we see that, and when, again, when we see us as men as well reflecting that, then and we deal with kids, and some haven't had fathers and things. We need to show that and be that. Lovely story about a young man. He had a son, 88 years of age, and he was terminal. And Charles said to his dad, "Dad, am I going to die?" What a question for his dad. And his dad said, "Why, son, are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to die?" And he said, "No, Daddy, not if God is like you." Oh, bless the Lord. What a challenge, isn't it? Not if God is like you. And that's our great challenge, isn't it? As mums and dads, to reflect. And then as people come in, and youngsters and not so young, reflect. Oh, that they say, not many fathers, not many mothers that would come along and speak and sacrifice for others. And God loves for that. And of course, then we come to the New Testament, and we have these wonderful verses in John, 1 John 3, 1 to 3.
How great is the love of Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure.
How great the Lord is lavish on us, that we can be called children of God. And if that was it, that would be enough, wouldn't it? But he talks about a future inheritance, bless the Lord. And our response to that is, we will be like him, but in the meantime, to keep ourselves pure, holy, he says there. I just wrote a couple of things down there about those two ladies, one young and one old. Jairus' daughter, where the Lord spoke over a little daughter. And where that, just before that, remember the old woman called her daughter. And I just wrote that little girls and old women, or I'd say mature women, is it? Need to know God's special fatherly care. An old woman, years of suffering and pain. And a young woman rescued from the jaws of death. Little daughter. What a, well, you can just imagine, can't you, that a woman who stretched out and touched the hem of his garment, which was not, shouldn't have done it, could have cost her life, or certainly cost her big time. Shouldn't have been there infecting and touching someone which was against the law, of course, because she was unclean, absolutely whole. And of course she thought she could, because of the crowd, shift away without being found out. And she said, oh. Peter said, "But girls, how many people around you? No, we're never going to find it." And of course, as she was cowering away, I wonder what she thought Jesus was going to say to her. What other people had said to her over the years. "Get from here. Don't make me unclean. Get from here." And she, all her money had gone. She'd spent it. We hear, don't we? But Jesus says, "Daughter." Oh, not just a touch in the body, but a touch in her soul. Oh, the weight and the burden and all the accusation over her life. Which wasn't her fault, was it, really? It was just an issue that she couldn't sort out. And God spoke over it. Daughter, bless the Lord. So we see that's his heart. That's the heart of the Father. Affection. And we know the unending love, the Bible says. Everlasting love that he has for us and his loving kindness cannot fail. Then we see, because he's Father, he's a generous Father. Generosity. Matthew 7:7-11.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, who if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then ye being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?
Again, wonderful promise from God. Again, for us who grew up with a generous Father, that's nothing to us, is it? If he's more generous than our own Father, wonderful. Again, some of us who are difficulty, we've just got to again refocus our mind. Generosity, we understand what generosity is, and God, if he gives us all that we need, absolutely. We talked again on Sunday, not our greeds. If we haven't got what we need or what we think we need, either the Lord's trying to do a work in us, patience, or actually it isn't a need. And I'm always amazed. You look back over your life and you think, at one point, I want that. Don't I? And you look in, you're searching. And of course, these days, it's at your fingertips and you Google it. And a few years down the road, you think, and you may have bought it. You think, I didn't really want that. Or not even using it anymore. Isn't it? The things you bought, some of the things you ladies have bought for the kitchen, bread makers, oh, wonderful idea at the time, but you don't even use them anymore. Isn't it? Bread maker, air fryer. Now, we do use the air fryer, must be honest. That is quite quick and good. But all the things, we think, we can't do without it sometimes, we think, can we? And then later on the road, we think, and God understands it, but his generosity is, and the Bible says, he who did not spare his only son, surely will he not give us all things to those who call on him. He cannot give God, and he just wants to replicate that in us. And when we have an issue with money, we need to give it away. Be disciplined. Sometimes you've really got to do that. God will stir your heart. You'll see a need. Give it. And the generosity of God, absolutely amazing. And we understand that. Some of us who had kids, I say to our kids, look, I said, like, careful now. I said, if I didn't have you two, I'd have a couple of Aston Martins out there. I said, because I think at one point they said if you, when the kids up to 16, you spend about 300,000-400,000, depending on, well, more if it's a girl, of course, twice as much. But it was something that figure, wouldn't it? But you don't think about it, do you? You don't think, if your kid needs something, you buy it, don't you? You don't think, oh, no, you don't need that. Sometimes they don't need it, that's definite. But, they're things they need, you just didn't think twice. You went and bought it. Generosity of God. Faithfulness of God. Faith. And again, we wrestle with this because, again, if we've not had a faithful, consistent parent or parents or father, reliable, constant, then we find this difficult. But here's who God is. James 1:16-18.
Do not say, my beloved brethren, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
No variables. There's no parallax. What does parallax mean? You've got a clock at 12 o'clock. You stand to the left, looking that way, 5 past. Stand this way, 5:02. Depending where you're looking from. There's no variableness with the Lord. He is who he says he is. Now again, that's an interesting one, because even some who had good fathers, they were always a little bit, told you before, they could be a bit odd, can't they, sometimes, and react strangely, and you suddenly wouldn't know what they were going to be like, or give you the silent treatment sometimes, and again, that pours into our thinking who God is. There's no variableness with him. Who he says he is, he is. Hallelujah. So thankfully we know where to find him, and we'll know what he's going to be like. Hallelujah. He's not like Allah, who could, you never know what he's going to be like. He could be on a bad day and he could kick you into next week. Our God is consistent. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never forget the verses around it, and that's why he says don't get carried away by strange teachings, because we know who Jesus is. He doesn't change. And that's why Paul said, if anyone comes to preach another Jesus, if anyone preaches a different gospel that I preach, he said, if I come and preach a different gospel, he said, kick me out. He said, there's only one. And so the consistency, the faithfulness of God, that's wonderful, isn't it? God always hears, God always answers. Doesn't always answer as we want, we know that, but he always does. He always hears, always. So we know where he is. He's a faithful God. He is a good God, and he is a good father. He is a good parent. Hebrews 12.
And have you completely forgotten the divine word of appeal and encouragement in which you are reasoned with and addressed as sons? My son, do not think lightly or scorn to submit to the correction and discipline of the Lord, nor lose courage and give up and faint when you are reproved or corrected by him. For the Lord corrects and disciplines everyone whom he loves, and he punishes evil scourges every son whom he accepts and welcomes to his heart and cherishes. You must submit to and endure correction for discipline. God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not thus train and correct and discipline? Now if you are exempt from correction and left without discipline, which all of God's children share, then you are illegitimate offspring and not true sons at all. Moreover, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we yielded to them, and respected them for training us. Shall we not much more cheerfully submit to the Father of spirits and so truly live? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time, and chastised us as seemed proper and good to them. But he disciplines us for our certain good, that we may become sharers in his own holiness. For the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, it yields peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The harvest of fruit, which consists in righteousness, in conformity to God's will, in purpose, thought, and action, resulting in right living and right standing with God.
Amazing. God treats us as sons, so he is a good parent. We understand, we call our kids, if you didn't square them up, they'd run riot, wouldn't they? Dear me. And we've been in places where people, and I deal with kids all the time, and then you've got some running around, and mum is looking like this. Get hold of him! Sit him down! And then they come into my room, they touch you and other things. I'm thinking, mum, are you going to say anything? And they don't say anything, so I'm thinking, glory be, you know, grab hold of him and say, oi, you know, cover him gently. But correction. If we're not corrected, we won't do the correct thing in the right place at the right time. And we don't thank our mums and dads, that they did correct us, they did shake us up, and they did point us in the direction, and they instill those things into us, and we instill it into others, don't we? Our kids and those around us, those things that they did, and they we reflect them, don't we? And we said the other day how we imitate them, how we behave like them, how we speak like them. Sometimes we say something, where did that come from? Oh yeah, yeah. Those things. They had lovely sayings, didn't they? My nan and my mum, and passed those on, passed on on those good qualities, isn't it? Generosity, consistency, faithfulness, hard work, sadly we need to pass on, and that's not being passed on these days so much. But there's a father who will parent, will protect. See, discipline protects us, doesn't it? Discipline protects us, because if we're not disciplined, we do our own thing, we do what we want, and we get into trouble. And that's so there's a protection as well as a correcting there from Father, and so there we are. But of course, ultimately, we are his children. Let's read why we are his children and how we are his children. Because we'll read in a minute, not everyone is, just because we say we, no, all children just automatically, this is how, Galatians 4.
But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
There it is. Regeneration. Redemption, Jesus our Redeemer, we receive regeneration and then we come into relationship with him where we call Abba Father. Abba, of course, is the Aramaic term, where we hear now in the East, where you see that, they say when they call Dad, Abba, you can hear them call Abba, and that's that personal name that only a son can say to a father, that certainly only the father will listen to. Infants and be talking to unreasoning and limited trust, apprehension of the relationship itself. Abba, Abba. And we call Abba and he hears, he listens and he's ready. Bless the Lord. Now, just remember Jesus. Jesus is our example always. Jesus lived his life, remember, through his humanity, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in relationship to Father. So when we say, Mama, we look at Jesus. He lived in relationship with Father. Listen to how he lived and his example for us. There's John 5. There's two verses there, 19 and 30.
Jesus gave them this answer, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatsoever the Father does, the Son also does. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but to him who sent me.
So his lifestyle, his walk, was in relationship to Father. Father's will, Father's ways, Father's word. I only do what pleases the Father. I only do what the Father says. My words are only what the Father tells me to say. What a challenge. But if Jesus did it, remember, he's living through his humanity, that's our example. Our example is to please Father, imitate. We look at those five things that how we relate to the Father. One is to imitate him, to follow him. How can we do that? In our strength? Impossible. But because Holy Spirit is in us and we are partakers of the divine nature, if we bring it to sort of that, our sort of earthly knowledge, in a sense, his DNA is in us. We know who our Father is and our Mother is, because if we take a DNA test, it'll point to them, wouldn't it? And of course, we've heard some shocking stories there, haven't we, over the years. They thought they were, those DNA tests, we've seen those, haven't we? And people have done those DNA tests and find out their father wasn't their father at all, which is, they found out it was someone else. And then there was that chap who was IVF doctor, wasn't he? Mm. And he was the father to 100 odd kids. But God, we are partakers of his divine nature. So there's no excuse. We've got to allow him to work through us, of course. Work out that which he worked in us. Submit, abide. But then the natural tendency is to become more like Father. To speak like him, to think like him, to talk like him. We do, don't we? We see things as our dad see them. Did I always agree with him? Probably most times. If I didn't, he was wrong, of course. But you see things, you knew what they were going to say, you knew how they thought. Why? Because you were in relationship to him with them, and of course you were partakers. Here's Jesus' example. What about these verses? These are interesting verses which challenge the lie, I suppose, that we're all God's children. By creation, absolutely. But as we said, by behaviour, by nature, by character, obviously not. Let's read these verses. John 8, 42-47.
Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God.
Really strong words there, isn't it? I mean, but again, a father will speak strong words, because sometimes he only needs to correct us, sometimes he needs to correct us a bit stronger, but sometimes he needs to grab hold of us, isn't he? We've all had kids, and sometimes they need a good shake, don't they? Dear me, to get some attention. Yeah, what are you doing? Shake. And God will do that. And he talks to the Pharisee, if God was your father, here's again the response, you would love me. So if God is our father, we will love the Lord and we will love truth. But if he's not, we won't love truth. Truth grates against us. It cuts against us. And he said, and I don't know about you, but if you ever told an untruth, it should bother you. And I've come back a few times. I'm not told the whole truth in some, and I've had to go back to that person and say, well, I didn't actually tell you the full truth there. I didn't tell you the truth. Yeah. And I tell you what's difficult, isn't it? To admit you haven't told the full truth. But see, as Christians, we love truth. Now, be careful, because people say, well, I'm going to tell you the truth. No, you're not. You just want to give me a good kick in. Remember, grace and truth. Sometimes, as I said, I could say lots of things about Jackie which would be absolutely true, but they wouldn't be important, they wouldn't be necessary, and they wouldn't help at all, would they? And they put her in a bad light to you, and of course you think she's wonderful. She is wonderful, but not as wonderful as you think, you know. Yeah. It's very difficult. glory. But we love truth. And although truth is hard sometimes, isn't it? And when we've got to go and apologise and say sorry, but you see, that's again a wonderful thing. It shows, of course, God's never going to say sorry. We do, because we, but that again shows the change in us, the character change that God is working in us. God, mighty, calling him our Father. 1 Peter 1, 13 to 17.
Right then, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you called on the Father, who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear.
Again, it's all relating to Father. Get a hold of yourself, didn't he? You gird up your loins, he says, your mind. That means get a hold of yourself, discipline yourself, be obedient to children, be holy, standing in awe of God. And again, that lovely picture of a father, we knew he loved us, but let me tell you, you were stood in awe, didn't you? We were talking earlier. Wait till your father comes home, wouldn't it? And how things change. Stop. That picture, he is a wonderful father, but we do stand in awe of him, because he will correct us, he will discipline us, because he's a good father. And again, depending what it is, it's depending on the punishment, isn't it? And the correction. And as we, Hebrews 12, sometimes it's just saying, Dave, no, that's just, it's okay, this is the way. Sometimes, Dave, what are you doing? This is the way. And other times, it was a 4x2. The word means to pick something up and say, "Dave, you poop, have a bit of that." Because sometimes it takes that for us to understand. But God is the wonder of obedient children. Why? Because we want to please Father. We want a Father to be proud of us. And again, that reverts back to our natural understanding. Ultimately, we are, because he's Father, we want to be like him. We are to be like him. Matthew 5.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbours and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
These are Jesus' words, and these are our words to say, oh, well, no, these are the Lord's words, and these are totally contrary to our own nature. We have to be children of God. He said, this is what you said, but love you, pray for those who persecute you. Now, that's just tough. That goes against the grain, but that's what he says. Because you are sons and daughters, this is what you will do, or this is what you should do. And in fact, he goes on and says, you be salt and be light. You bring the life of Christ into the situation. You speak in the word of the Lord into the situation. And ultimately, he finishes off saying, be perfect. Be whole, be complete. Why? Because your heavenly Father is. And we reflect him. And that's the great challenge, isn't it? But it all comes down to understanding that he's Father. That's how we relate to him. And again, re-educating our thinking of what a good Father is. And again, we might have had we said the other day, our Father may have been there, he might have been generous, been faithful, but he may have just been an indulgent Father. Mm-hmm. Never corrected us. Oh, you know, it's everything's all right. Never actually intervened. And again, we've got to re-educate ourselves there, because he won't be like that, because ultimately we had to reveal him and show him. I told the story about that young lad brought into the house, they adopted him. And he had a real rough background, and his behaviour wasn't very well, very good. And father would say to him, look, he said, we don't behave like that in this house. That's not how we behave like this. That's not how we speak like that in this house. And see, that's what Father would say. This is how we behave in Father's house, in his presence. This is how we speak in his presence. And so Father comes and corrects us. We are brought into his presence, and some of us got so much baggage, haven't we? Some of us got so much change to be done. And God says, Dave, nah, we don't speak like that. Dave, we don't behave like that. And the problem is we don't listen. And so we've got a church today that are infants, immature, never grown up, still wanting to do their own thing and having a bit of religion, having a bit of Christianity. That's why they may come once a week if you're lucky. And that's immaturity. Because Father says, nah, devote yourself. Throw your weight in. Be committed. Because Father is committed to us, isn't he? So tonight, Father, oh, help us to realise and to understand who he is and to relate to him like that. He can't change, bless the Lord. Faithful, consistent, parent, provider, protector, all those wonderful things that we need in a good parent. He is, of course, the best. And that's what he wants and speaks over us, hallelujah, that can change the whole way we think and behave.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.